If you have a girl 13, 14 years old, she has what seems to be an intense case of adolescence, is what we used to call it. But now she picks up her smartphone.
Academic psychologists have been able to link the extremely high rates of anxiety and depression we're seeing in adolescent girls, higher than we've ever before seen, to the young women's use of social media on their smartphone.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, it's Tuesday here at the Catholic Current. That means it's Timely Tuesday. A lively guest and I have an open-ended conversation about hot headlines affecting the Church and the world. And in the last segment, it's you and me sharing timely thoughts, reflecting on what we've heard today. I want to ask the question, are you ready to give up on politics? And warming up in the bullpen is a guest who has been not been on the show in too long of a time. I plan to fix that. He's an independent radio and internet talk show host on the Crusade Channel, and his was the first ever produced talk show on Sirius Satellite Radio. Mike Church, welcome back to the Catholic Current.
Thank you very much, Father McTeague. Always a pleasure to be hanging out with you on a Tuesday, a thoughtful Tuesday afternoon. So thanks for the invite.
Amen. And Mike, I want to thank you for being so generous with the shout out you gave to me on your show the other day. You were interviewing our mutual friend, Sara Carrier, known as the Crusader Gal. It was a lively show, and we've linked to that in our social media. But thank you for the acknowledgement.
You're very welcome. And Sarah is she's a gem. She's that little diamond that's twinkling in the rough that you hear about. And I'm glad that you found her and that I found her because you found her.
Well, thanks be to God. Like I said, I've been trying to find a word to do her justice. And I, as I said, perky and spunky are two diminutives. So I'll use the Latin mulier fortis and bonus round for our listeners who look up what that means. Mike, let's talk about politics and exasperation. I got my web browser open here. And there is an article that talks about 10 things that the president must do now, in all caps, to save the republic and the world from impending globalist tyranny. The article, sadly, is dated December 2nd, 2020, and none of those 10 things have been done. It almost doesn't matter what the 10 things are. And then I just look at Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes. Is it time to walk off the field? Politically, is it over for faithful Catholics?
Well, I don't think it's over for faithful Catholics or for faithful evangelicals or faithful Orthodox Jews, for that matter. I think what's over and what we are seeing the final arc of, it's almost like the fish is, this fish I'll describe to you, has jumped out of water. He's on the pier where you were fishing from. And he's been on there for like a minute and a half. And he's still just flopping around just a little bit. But it doesn't look like, unless you forcefully kick him back into the water, he's going back into water. So he's going to run out of breath and will expire on the dock. So I think that what is happening here, and I'm not alone in this. There are many, many people that share this particular point of view. Father, I believe that we are at the end of the modernist experiment, and it was an experiment on humans. A demonic experiment on humans that cost heaven knows. Of course, man has his free will and could have chosen otherwise. But that being said, demonic experiments that cost how many billions of souls to some form or another of damnation. We don't know what judgment is for any particular case. Mm-hmm. But we can see the peril that many souls were put in by modernity and by the lie that was this thing called the Enlightenment. It wasn't an enlightenment. It was a darkening. And our politics have been darkened, you know. Back in the days, the bad old days, the Lockean urban legend that he created out of whole cloth, this thing called the Divine Right of Kings, which never existed in any part of Christendom, but only in his mind. In the bad old days of the Divine Right of Kings, did you have bad kings and queens? Of course you did. We're humans. We're fallen. We had bad popes, too. We had bad bishops.
That can
and bad
happen?
Priests. Now, yes, it can. I mean, many, many bad popes. Many, many bad popes. I say bad popes, relatively speaking.
Right.
But we also had St. Elizabeth of Hungary. We had St. Bridget of Sweden. We had St. King Louis. We had William the Confessor. And the list could go on and on and on. We had kings of papal states that became cardinals and then became holy fathers, for heaven's sake. So we know that when the social kingship of Christ is intact and is recognized as the authority, it really doesn't matter what your politics are, so to speak, underneath them, provided when the two come in conflict, the two perfect entities, the church and the state, if there is a conflict on a question of morals or of church teaching, the state always gives way. That's just that has to happen. And it hasn't happened since the Enlightenment. I think that's what we're at the begin. That's what we're at the end of. And I think that people, you know, Father, you're a priest. You've baptized how many thousands of babies and some adults, I'm sure. You know, that indelible mark that's on the soul of baptism also comes with it. There's some revealed truth in there, whether you like it or not. And some of that revealed truth is going, okay, we're at an end to this. This is not right.
Right.
And there's no election is going to produce the moral results that we know that God wants for us, because God loves us and he wants us morally happy, right? So that's what I think we're at the end of.
Friends, I'm in conversation with Mike Church, independent radio and internet talk show host on the Crusade Channel. We're talking about whether it's time to give up on politics. Mike, number one, I agree with what you said, about which more in a moment. Number two, you're never going to be invited to the cool kids table with an attitude like that. You're never going to be buds with Stephen Colbert. I'm just giving you a heads up on that as a friend in the Lord. But I hate to break it to you in public, but there it is. Yes, since at least the French Revolution, and before in some measure, but certainly the French Revolution, we can draw a bright line. The West, what used to be known as Christendom, made a decision to organize its life, public and private, communal and individual, without reference to Christ. And one of the end results was a very great mound of bodies. The leading cause of death in the 20th century was democide, governments killing their own people. And the book I've just finished, I hope to send to the publisher very soon, says, can we admit that we did it wrong? Can we admit that we have to go back to referring to Christ as king? Can we admit that there's something higher than politics and something more powerful than the state? Now, Mike, I mean, you and I are odd ducks. We're not representative samples on anything. What kind of looks do you get from your average person on the street or in the pew when you talk as you do?
Well, two things. Number one, when you asked that question, the first thing that came to my mind was a conversation I had with my friend Michael Hitchborn this morning about how providence keeps coming to me. Your question is providential because I just talked about this not 2 hours ago at the end of the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. If you got a minute, I'll walk you through it.
Yes, please. Yeah, we got about 3 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, 29 years in talk radio. I'll make 29 years on April the 21st of this year. So 28 years in change, and for the first 21 of those years, I was a Republican Party, red state, conservative trooper, and believed in the electoral system, believed that the founding fathers got it correct, that they were kind of almost demigods. I wrote books and movies about it. I spoke at conventions, did the radio show, the whole shebang. I'll tell you, you and I share a mutual friend, Chris Ferrara.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, when I read Liberty, the God That Failed, I was already on my road back to the church because I had been a terrible, terrible, bad Catholic. Someday you and I maybe can talk and you can hear my confession. I'll tell you all about it. I had completely fallen away from the faith, the church. I was not a good Catholic. I was not a good human as a result of that. When I came back and then I met men like Chris, again, Providence, and began to start questioning these things. And there's no better guide. If you don't have the book, Liberty, the God That Failed, on this question the Father asked me, get it. It may take you 2 years to read it, but get it. So I began to ask this question, and it took me about 4 or 5 years to ponder it and to get it into a workable form, the elevator pitch, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, and I began to talk to people what I told you, and I think I have even boiled it down to a smaller point, the first reactions were, I don't even want to talk to you about this. That's just nuts. or that's seditious, or that's the faith doesn't teach that. Almost universal condemnation or rejection. Mm-hmm. In the last 24 months, and it's increased with warp speed now, if you will, in the last 6 months, that has been a complete change. And again, I chalk it up to Providence. And when I say these things now, or when I talk about them now, I find receptive audiences. For example, our little 24-year-old friend, Sarah.
Right.
Who is not professing the faith, I do not believe, but she gets it. And she goes by the term crusader gal. It's because she knows that something noble was done during the crusade, and there was a higher power that those men knelt before and went into battle under. And so the tide has changed. It is happening as we speak. It is happening. The end of this political reign and this system of politics.
We're coming up on a new chapter, and we're coming up on a hard break. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on this timely Tuesday of Mike Church of the Crusade Channel. The next segment, we're going to talk about, are we witnessing the loss of civility? What might that mean for us? Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get a resources list, spread our audio around. We'll be back very, very soon. Please do stay with us.
There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests.
Also, another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. Okay? So none of this sola fide stuff. Yes, we have to have faith. That's absolutely necessary. But we're also judged by what we have done, according to the Bible.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert Matej from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Stay connected with the show, our guest and topics, by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's Timely Tuesday at the Catholic Current. I'm in conversation with Mike Church of the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, independent radio and internet talk show host of many, many years' experience. We're talking about giving up on politics. I want to look at some domestic issues and ask, are we witnessing the loss of civility? Kinetic indignation is being expressed as we speak in Minnesota. And as a trial draws to a close, there are promises of kinetic expressions of disappointment if the right outcome isn't achieved. Are we looking forward to another long, hot summer of people thirsting for justice in a kinetic and vociferous way?
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on with that particular trial, the least of which is that prosecutor has set himself up for a no-win, and there's no way he wins that case.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't. Maybe that's the intention. So if that's the intention, then it's going to be very, very successful. And I do not believe that that he will win that case. You may have been able to get a manslaughter charge on Officer Chauvin. You're not going to get a first or second degree murder charge. It's just not going to happen. Now, I say that given that, well, you have a unbiased jury. Heaven knows if that's even possible. So having said that, you had this other case. We had this shooting in Minneapolis just 2 days ago. And, here we go again with another police officer. This one, though, and this time, lots of video that kind of shows that the officer in question, who is a female, does not look or appear as though we'll wait for the full analysis to come out, as they say.
Right.
But to me, this early stage, and I've seen that video six times now, does not look to me as though she was prepared for that encounter, or that she, or either one of those three, acted properly. And what's the end result of this going to be? The end result of this is going to be, as you say, what'd you call it? Kinetic what?
Kinetic expressions of disappointment.
I'm afraid that, yeah, you are in for another summer of kinetic expressions of disappointment. You may have noted, if those of you listening live on the West Coast, heaven forfend you should live in the demonic stronghold that is Portland. They're still rioting. They never stopped. For what? No one knows. But
right.
They're still rioting and burning and looting in Portland, Oregon. It's gotten so bad in Portland, as a matter of fact, that the people in the western part of Oregon want to leave the state and join Idaho. They don't even want to be in league with these people anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think that this is how the bad guys, the demons, work. They set these things up, they sit back, and they wait for the proverbial fireworks to start.
My understanding is there's a large portion of Minnesota talking about linking up with the Dakotas as well. So that brings me to – I want to follow up on the thread of the conversation from the last segment, Mike, where you said that we're watching the end of a failed experiment, and the failed experiment is the Enlightenment / French Revolution secular humanistic experiment. And you said it's the fish up on the dock flopping, gasping for breath, and I think that's where we are now. And I don't think that it can be revived. Let's apply that analysis to the United States. Are we fraying at the edges as a country, or are we coming apart at the seams, in your view?
Okay, so the answer to the question is a very dodgy yes on both counts.
Okay.
Well, let me give you the qualified answer. You're seeing dividing lines that are being clearly drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And for the very clear dividing lines that aren't just these dubious bumper sticker slogans, right versus left, liberal versus conservative, Republican versus Democrat. You know, one of the 29 years of doing this, I developed a couple of catchphrases. One of Church's maxim, number one, is an entity is by definition either religious or irreligious. Pick one. If you're religious, you'll show it. If you're irreligious, you'll show it. You're seeing a lining up here of the religious and the irreligious. When I say religious, of course, I mean Catholic religious.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lining up here. There's no room for any lukewarm ninnies in this fight. You're either going to be thrown all in, and you're going to become one of those names on the Roman martyrology, possibly. That makes you a good guy or a good gal with a palm. Or you're going to be on the other team. But the lines are being drawn, and many people are being called. And as our Lord says, many are chosen, many are called, few are chosen. I believe what we see is a complete alignment, kingdom of God, St. Augustine, city of God versus city of man.
Mm-hmm.
And many people may not even know, Father, that they are being called to this. And it may just be that their devotions to a particular saints or to Our Lady or to the Sacred Heart, or even their, I know evangelical Christians, I can talk and listen to them talking and go, well, first of all, you ought to be a Catholic. Number two, I can hear you being called. I can hear the communion of saints and ultimately Christ calling you to something higher that's above these, again, these slogans and these bumper sticker politics. Will there be a fraying? Well, there already is a fraying. There is no cohesiveness, no camaraderie. What was the French Revolution based on? Fraternity, égalité.
And liberty, yeah.
And liberty. Well, where's the fraternity part was always fake. But the real fraternity is the brotherhood under the kingship of Christ. Again, there's that term.
Right.
That kingship of Christ covers an awful lot, and people are being called to it. That's your unifying force. That's where the unity will come from. All else, Father, it's the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
It's the Tower of Babel now. And if you're not under that unifying force, the social kingship of Christ, which I believe Our Lord is strongly calling. As a matter of fact, this is the year of St. Joseph. The Holy Family is calling. and is calling for families to become holy. So the fraying is for those that ignore the call.
Friends, I'm in conversation with Mike Church. He's host of the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. We're going to link to that in our resources. Please do check it out. Mike, last week I had the good fortune of interviewing Dr. Thaddeus Kaczynski talking about his book called Modernity as Apocalypse, and you've got to put that on your list after you finish my latest, of course. And he says this is actually a privileged time to be a Catholic because we're running out of places to hide. That the stark choice between being a saint or not, there's going to be really the lukewarm are just not going to survive in terms of the spiritual crisis that's heading our way. What's your take on that?
I believe it. I completely believe it. And again, you and I talked before our interview about providence, and a bit during it about providence and providential things happening. I believe he's exactly and precisely correct, and that there has never been. I think Professor Anthony Solon also is saying, no, it's Austin Roos. Austin Roos has a book coming out. You must interview him about this.
He's on our schedule.
Good. You're going to enjoy that. There's never been a better time to be a good, faithful Catholic, as St. Pio tells us: pray, hope, and don't worry. There's never been a better time. You will stand out by doing simply nothing more than just being a good Catholic. And I don't mean being a pious, you know, I'm looking for the honor and I'm looking for people to look at me and what have you. I mean just living the faith. You will stand out and others will find you. So Modernity as Apocalypse is a book I must put on my list.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think back to when I was a new priest and I was teaching at a self-identified Catholic university, and I'd ask students about what their religious affiliation or religious identity is. And very often the response I got was, Catholic, I guess. That's not going to be an option real soon, is it?
No. Well, and it's not going to be an option in as much as there's a term that's out there, Catholic in name only. I think for a while, unfortunately, this is true, and I think this is also coming to an end. There was a circular firing squad, if you will, among many conservative Catholics, almost like a competition to see who was going to be the most conservative or the most traditional, whatever the terminology you wish to use is. Obviously, that was not the Holy Ghost that was working there, or something else. But there were many people. Well, I might have even been one of those people in that firing squad who said, can't you just be Catholic? why do you have to have a, well, he's a conservative and he's a Orthodox and he's a modernist. I think that you will be able to clearly define, you know, we can identify some sects, religious and quasi-religious orders, if you will, today, and I don't mean like ordained orders.
Right.
I can identify an Orthodox or a Hasidic Jewish guy simply by the clothes he wears and his hair. I can identify Amish people in certain parts of the United States, again, by what they wear and what they don't do. Mm-hmm. Should you be able to identify a Catholic? Well, yeah. You won't see him being in the world, especially the bad parts of it, or of the world, rather. You would see him being in, or her being in, the world. We should be easily identifiable as not being the most pious charitable person, but the most humble charitable person, who maybe doesn't even think an act of charity, like the one Our Lady gave us the example of, going to visit her aunt to help with the birth of St. John the Baptist. Does anyone think of that as something that's charitable? It is. It's an ultimate charity. And I think you'll be identified by these things simply just by doing them. So, yeah, I think you will be able to see, and many people will be able to recognize those that are acting, as I like to say, all Catholic-y and stuff.
Well, you know, I think people who are not familiar with history don't realize that from 1945 to about now-ish, what we call the West has enjoyed an unprecedented space of prosperity and peace, and we didn't handle those gifts well. And they're out of gas. That kind of peace and that kind of prosperity is going to go away. And we're going to go back to a way of living and a way of conflict and struggle and really decisiveness and moral clarity that we haven't seen in the human condition in the West for a very long time. And it doesn't have to be complicated. The church has always taught the most reliable path of sanctity is to do the duty of your state in life to the best of your ability and to do it with great love. And if you do that, that's the most reliable path to heaven. I don't want to frighten people. I do want to wake people up because business as usual is coming to a close. Friends, we come back. We're going to continue our conversation with Mike Church, host of The Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. Check out MikeChurch.com. In the next segment, we're going to ask Mike, what's a faithful Catholic to do? We're going to look at a variety of options. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Don't just download it and spread it around. Subscribe to the channel, write a 5-star review. We need to attract the attention of the algorithm so that these conversations get the attention they deserve. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
This is the Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Catch up on an episode you've missed or share them with your family or friends. The Catholic Current is podcasted wherever you enjoy listening, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's Timely Tuesday on the Catholic Current. I'm talking with Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. We're talking about, is it time to give up on politics? Mike, in this segment, I want to talk about what are the faithful Catholics to do. You know, Rod Dreher, inspired by Alistair MacIntyre's book After Virtue, came up with the so-called Benedict option, which he describes as seceding in place. About a year or so ago, I had a guest who talked about a Trappist option, which is we all just have to become profoundly ascetical and just make reparations until the apocalypse. There are people who talk about building arcs or catacombs or oases. There are Catholics who talk about the Reconquista riding forth like the Lord of the Rings, during the siege of Helm's Deep. In other words, the best defense is a good offense. What do you think is the approach faithful Catholics should be taking now?
Well, first of all, let's start with Dreher, and I agree with my friend Dr. John Rao. We got to stop this Rod Dreher guy. The Benedict option, look, Rod, either come back to the faith or get your own saint. One of the two. He's a Catholic. There are 38 popes that follow St. Benedict and only the Order of the Benedicts. You can't have him. Sorry. Benedict option to me is something that's a complete cop-out and sell-out. Let's leave everything behind. Let's find an island or a mountaintop or segregate ourselves into these covens, if you will, which may have, there's one part of it that has a small patina of truth and Catholicity in it. It's that. And I'm actually working on a project that is to encourage people to do that. But it's not the Benedict option. When we could talk about that when we get to the end of the segment. But as I was telling you in the break, I come from French Catholics who were too Catholic for Voltaire, or who were too Catholic for France, even prior to the French Revolution. My ancestors are from Acadia, first Acadia in Nova Scotia, Canada, where they freely settled and claimed free lands, even though the English claimed them, and farmed and made friends with the Mi'kmaq Indians. My great-grandmother, 13 times removed, is a Mi'kmaq Indian, my family tree shows. They were then taken over and kicked out of there by the governor of, I believe it was Governor Hutchinson of Massachusetts, for no reason other than the jealous Anglicans and Massachusetts and New Englanders wanted the land. They were jealous because the Acadians were so good at farming. Well, why were they? Because they had 8, 9, 10, and 11 kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were fruitful and multiplied like they were supposed to. So they were kicked out and sent back to France. They get back to France, and the French go like, we don't want you here. And they came to Louisiana, settled in what we call Acadia today. Lafayette, Louisiana is the center of all that. The question is how did the French know that these Acadians weren't like regular French people and were such observant Catholics, if you will, or faithful? Well, it's just because of the way that they lived. Again, even if they weren't practicing some form of contraception in the 19th and 18th centuries and 17th centuries, it was obvious that, you know, the weirdo Catholics in France had these massive families of 8, 10, 12 children, and that for some silly reason, they actually enjoyed farming. And they didn't mind being not wealthy. Their life was built around the center of each little town or village, which was always a church, you know, Catholic church, St. Vincent or St. whatever it may have been, St. Louis. And they were just very easy to identify and were the kind of men. I believe you and I share a love for the writings of Professor Assolin.
Yes.
Professor Assolin said that the men of Acadia and the men of the Vendée, those Catholics,
right,
that no political slogan could ever make men together or bond together the way those men did, because the political slogan doesn't make men stick together. Mud does.
Right.
You know, the general of the Vendée army or the leader of the Acadians was the same guy that would ride through the mud with the biggest or the most impoverished peasant, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying that the Catholic has got to go back to agrarian life and be poor and not eat and smell. The point is that they're identifiable because they're alive, they love life, they're content with what God has blessed them with. They do go forth and are fruitful and multiply, and they're extraordinarily observant of all those little things, those little parts of the faith that most people, especially in the modern world today, reject. So what's a Catholic to do? Be more like someone that lived in the Vendée, or like an ancient Acadian, maybe not a modern-day one, but an ancient Acadian, as my ancestors were.
You know, I'm inclined to agree with you in this way. I think that the West destroyed families and it destroyed communities. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are parish priests across the country, and I'm going to summarize a lot of conversations with them. They said that your typical church is, you know, Our Lady Help of Suburbia, presided over by Father Cheerful, and he's really just set up kind of a drive-through sacramental ATM, and it doesn't offer much, but it requires even less. And the deal is, you know, the pastor won't preach anything challenging, and then the people put a reasonable amount in the basket, and the boxes are checked, and everybody's happy. Well, the spiritual needs are going to increase dramatically during the difficult times that are coming, and the sacramental drive-through, it's just not going to be there. Those structures are going to go away. That was inevitable even before COVID. The process has been accelerated after COVID. So we have to be very intentional about the communities that we form. You know, wouldn't it be great to get small groups of families together every first Saturday for the first Saturday devotion and pray a rosary in honor of Our Lady of Fatima? And then, you know, talk about planting some seeds, talking about how to live the corporal and spiritual works of mercy during difficult times. I think that's a way forward without retreating. I know Rod Dreher uses the term seceding in place. I'm not so sure if that works. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so where I tell you where I think Dreher is right, seceding in place, I call it withdrawing consent.
Mm-hmm.
And withdrawing consent is something Catholics have been doing since the apostles. The apostles withdrew consent. St. Stephen withdrew consent. Our Lord taught his apostles, if you are of this world and you are not of me, then you are not of me. Or not with me. He is against me, or is not with me, is against me. Withdrawing your consent is similar to seceding, but when you withdraw your consent, you also withdraw your consent to the completely manufactured notion of what an American life is supposed to be, the American dream. Well, why isn't the American dream a house full of children? Why isn't the American dream having a couple of children that grow up, one to be a priest, one to be a sister, one to be a brother, and nine others to be farmers or what have you? Family, raising families. There's a great scene in the great, great movie starring Maximilian Schell called The Reluctant Saint. I know you've seen it, about St. John of Cupertino, the flying monk, right?
Right.
There's a great scene where Maximilian John of Cupertino mm-hmm. has been sent off to the seminary, and he's not very smart. He's not very bright. He can't remember anything, and he kind of fails, and he's not going to become a priest in this go-round. So he goes home, and he goes to tell his mother, and what happens when he goes to tell his mother? She gets a broom out and starts to beat him because she's embarrassed that he's not going to be a priest because she's my Giuseppe, oh, my padre. He goes, no, Mom, I'm not going to be a padre. And she starts wailing on him with the broom. This was something that would have been repeated in many places in Christendom. You sent your best and your brightest. I'll give you a great modern example, Father, that the Giuseppe, the Sarto family chose little Giuseppe because the father thought that he was the best and brightest of the young of the boys, and they chose Giuseppe to go to school and to be tutored. Of course, he becomes Saint Pope Pius X. Ultimately, that's an example. Let me talk about something that I'm working on, if you will, for just a moment.
Okay.
Community. You're absolutely correct. Community is the whole thing. I believe that this is not just the year of Saint Joseph. this is the century of St. Joseph. This is the millennium, maybe, of St. Joseph. This is also the century and the millennium of the Holy Family. We often forget that we were given the greatest example of how to live our lives, those of us outside religious orders, how to live our lives in keeping with the wishes of Christ and the plan of God, as the Holy Family did, with St. Joseph as the bedrock. You know, one of my favorite mysteries in saying the Holy Rosary is the fifth mystery of the joyful mysteries, when the gospel says, and he went down with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful verse.
Yep.
That's God subjecting himself to mom and dad in a household. Can the message be much more clear of what you need to do?
Right.
So the Upon These Rocks Conference, which is the New Christendom's Upon These Rocks Congress, proposes that what we do is not the Benedict option. You go, you start down in the at the rudest part, the smallest, most beautiful community you can have, and that's your family. And men have to lead this. Women can't do it. Men have to do it. Men have got to take the mantle up, and they've got to become Saint Joseph. And they have to take St. Joseph, your friends with Father Calloway, I believe, take St. Joseph, be consecrated to St. Joseph, take it seriously, be the man, be the priest, the bishop of the house, and then lead the family and form that community. And then when you go out into the world, into your parish and your community life, you will meet, through the working of the Holy Ghost, other families that are doing the same thing. You want to talk about forming a strong bond with other men and women? Try that, which I actually have, and I know dozens and dozens of people just here locally have. That's what Upon These Rocks is all about, because Upon These Rocks, of course, upon Peter, I will build my church upon this rock, is a reference to the Catholic Church, of course. But we have the Catholic Church so that we have Catholic families. So that, to me, that's your foundation. That's your bedrock. That's the community that you work the most at. And from there, you make alliances. Call them free trade deals if you want with other families. And look, I encourage men, name your household. Name it like it's a kingdom. My kingdom is called Kinglandia. I have a friend who calls his Christland. I have another one who calls his St. Joseph's Burg. And be serious about it.
Okay.
Treat it like it's a kingdom, and you'll see where I'm going with that.
Sure. No, absolutely. No, there has to be a right order of family life. And there has to be a connection of families, not around ambition, of course, but about responding nimbly and generously and wholeheartedly to the summons, to the call, to the invitation of Christ the King, who in his generosity gives us the opportunity to win nobility by fighting at his side and thereby sharing in his victory and even in his glory if we're faithful unto the end. What are the topics? Who are the presenters? Can you give us a quick rundown of presenters and topics? And then we'll link to this in the show notes too. This is important stuff, Mike.
Well, Chris Ferrara is our keynote speaker, and he's going to speak on the folly of reforming electoral politics. It's not going to work. I'm speaking on because their conference, the second day of the Congress is Saturday, May the 1st, St. Joseph the Worker Day. And my talk is titled, it's not an accident that we're here on St. Joseph the Worker Day. Brother Andre Marie is giving two talks. He has a presentation that he did back in 2006 about the building blocks of the new Christendom. And Brother will give us two presentations on that. There are workshops on homesteading and farming and energy and other independences, so that, you know, you can withdraw your consent, but you can also be smart about this and don't do business with people who don't want to really do business with you. Trade in that small group of like-minded Catholics.
Mike Church of the Mike Church Show, the Crusade Channel, thanks for being a splendid guest. Let's do this again real soon.
Absolutely.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague. Stay with us in the next segment. It's you and me sharing timely thoughts on what we heard today. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new. It's as old as Satan himself.
The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.
After today's broadcast, go to the Catholic Current Show page on thestationofthecross.com. For info on today's guests, the show resource links, and to sign up for our weekly email of upcoming shows.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's Tuesday, which means it's Timely Tuesday here at the Catholic Current. If you're just joining us, you should get our audio after the broadcast today, because I had Mike Church from the Mike Church Show from the Crusade Channel, and we had an open-ended conversation about what's affecting the church and the world, and in particular, we addressed this question, are you ready to give up on politics? And that's what I want to address today. There are people who are ready to give up. Things are happening too fast, they're too confusing, they're too disconcerting, they're too painful. They just don't know what to do. I can understand that. I'm sympathetic with that. Sadly, I also think there's some people who would just rather go back to sleep, who would rather go back to business as usual, however you might define that. A couple things come to mind. Number one, I do want to be compassionate. You know, if you've been living your life and getting through day by day, and then 2020 bursts on the scene, followed by 2021, I think it's like waking up disoriented. You don't know what day it is, and you don't know where you are, and you're not sure of your own name. I think a lot of people are still in that mode right now. We want to be patient. We want to be gentle. We also want to be clear and say, look, you can't hit the snooze button on an earthquake. Life has thrown you out of bed. It's time to pick yourself up, put your shoes on so you don't step on the broken glass, and get busy and do what needs to be done. I've been thinking a lot about the times that we're in. And, you know, people ask me, Father, are we in a time of chastisement? Are we in a time of tribulation? Is this the fulfillment of the prophecy of fill in the blank? I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. We are in a time of illumination. we are in a time where we can see more clearly than ever that only saints are going to survive the times. Only people who are saints are going to enter into the happiness of heaven when they die. And it's our turn in this time and place to learn how to become saints. So coasting, check the box Catholicism, made my Easter duty, check, put in my envelope in the basket on Sunday, check, now get on with real life, check. Now that's going away. That never served you well to begin with. It certainly didn't glorify God. And this is where I think chastisement comes in, because God in his mercy is taking away the illusion that we can coast into heaven. Let's take a look at the word chastisement. We think it means punishment, retribution, God giving us a spanking. And it comes from the Latin word castigare, from which we get the English word castigate, which means upbraiding, giving a severe scolding. But it's also where we get the word chastity. So really, I would say we are in a time of purification. It's a time for our divided hearts to be scrubbed clean of anything that's unworthy of our human nature, anything that's unworthy of our Christian vocation, and anything that's unworthy of God's holiness, wisdom, and goodness. And God has put us in a time and place where the opportunities to hide from him are just being taken away. It's a time of a great disillusionment. That's a painful grace, but it is a grace. So here are some of the illusions I think that we can give up, that we can safely get into heaven by being lukewarm and mediocre and merely compliant. It was never true that we could do that. It's certainly not true now. And maybe there was a time past where we could delude ourselves to believe that illusion, but that's running out of space. We're heading towards the cliff on that one. And thanks be to God. I think we also have to give up the illusion that somebody else is going to fix it. Whether it's the courts or the Congress or the party or the club or the bishops or the bishops' conference or the vet, whatever it is, whatever we're waiting for someone else to do, we have to assume it's not going to get done. Well, that's a problem. So what do we do? Well, as I said in the earlier part of the show, the church is clear that the most reliable way to holiness is to live the duties of our state and life to the best of our abilities and to do so with great love. So if you're a parent, parent. If you're a spouse, spouse. If you're a teacher, teach. On and on it goes. But more than that, we have to give up the illusion that we can manage as isolated individuals. It was never true, and we're going to find out sooner rather than later, and in a very vigorous way, that none of us can make it on our own. So I want you to take some practical steps. I mean, I can tell you things to read until your eyes bleed, until you're ready to retire. But eventually, we have to do things, and we have to learn how to do things together. So first, let's relearn, or if need be, learn for the first time, how to pray with and for each other. When I was in graduate school, I get together with a group of friends once a week on a Thursday night. We just get together and pray over the upcoming Sunday scriptures. We'd go to Mass together, and after Mass, we'd get together, have coffee and a bagel, and talk about the homily and what God is doing in our lives. And that gave us a wonderful sense of Sabbath. And we walked through the liturgical year together. And we did that every Thursday for 6 years. You can start there. First Saturday of the month, get together with groups of families and pray the rosary. Have a meal together. And then begin to talk about important things. About how to learn the faith. About how to hand the faith on to your children. When there's no one there, do it for you. Talk about planting seeds, spiritual seeds, seeds of knowledge and wisdom and goodness and goodwill, and also physical seeds. Talk about getting together in groups to learn how to perform both the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy together. And over time, bonds will form and trust will form. And then you'll find out who your real friends are. And you'll also discover that Christian discipleship really is meant to be lived together. It's not me and my private Jesus privately, personally working out my private salvation and the heck with everybody else. No, we really are all in this together. We are meant to be members of one body. Benjamin Franklin said to his comrades at the outset of the American Revolution, "If we don't hang together, we will surely hang separately." It was true then. I think it's going to be true now, and even more true in the very near future. So let's learn how to find each other, pray with and for each other, learn how to listen to each other, and then build friendships, build bonds, build good habits, share knowledge, share skills. Don't only pray in church, but pray in one another's homes. If your home has become a place only of consumption and entertainment, find ways to learn how to make it a place of production, a place of abundance. And over time, here at the Catholic Current, I'm going to recommend some resources and some reading that you can do so that when lean times come, we don't have to panic and we don't have to give in, but we can stand together unashamed as members of the body of Christ. I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern here at the Catholic Current, coming to you from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app. You'll want to join us tomorrow. We're going to have a special preview for a conference that I'm giving a presentation on called the Listening for God Conference. It is a virtual conference. It's going to be running April 16th through 18th. I'm going to be meeting with some of the presenters, including the host of the conference, Teresa Tomeo. Registration is free. We're going to give all that information in the show notes today and tomorrow as well. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by thestationofthecross.com, a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.